In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. The Spirit was hovering over the waters. That's how we start the Bible, and that's how God wants us to hear about Him. We talked in week one of our conversation about all the things that God revealed happened before the foundation of the world. Ultimately, that He was the master planner, and that even the Lamb's Book of Life with our names in it, if we're His, were written there before the foundation of the world, that God had already planned that His Lamb would be slain before the foundation of the world, that the world and its plans came into be before the world came into be, because God was there. And it's a joy to know that God revealed that to us, because one of the takeaways, of course, is that God has a plan for me. And we saw that in the early video. And God's plan for me is not arbitrary, and it's not something that He's sitting around waiting for me to make up, and then He'll say, oh yeah, that's it. He has a plan for me, and He has a plan for you. And so one of the things that we're doing as we're going through Genesis is watching how God unfolds His plan. That is, how did God choose to reveal Himself and His plan in His Word? So we started off with the start, and tonight we're going to only talk about one day of creation, the first day, and we're going to talk about it from two different perspectives. One perspective we won't go over each time, but it's critical that we mention it the first time, and then we're going to talk about the day itself and what happened on it, and we're going to talk about why it's a big deal. And how it matters to us. And remember what we learned last week, that God was literally revealing the redemption story even in before there was a day, when He created the heavens and the earth with chaos and darkness, and that He sent His Spirit to hover over it because He was going to make something out of it. And so and darkness is over the face of the deep. And I didn't mention a lot about this last week, and I thought, man, should I spend time on that? But the deep, if you look in Psalm 104, which is another creation text that David sings and teaches the people to sing, which is basically David's take, if you will, on Genesis 1, and what he sings is that the mighty waters were what was called the deep. And so deep waters, it makes sense, and we talked about this, some sort of, you know, thing that was going on. The matter, if you will, from which God would make the rest of the stuff, perhaps, is one way to think about it, even though God doesn't specifically say it that way. But, so let's see this next verse and see what we think about it. And God said, let there be light. So I want you to first see that God said something, and there was light. And then God saw something. He saw that the light was good. And then God separated the light from the darkness. And then God called something, called the light the day. And He called the darkness the night, and the evening and the morning was the first day. So I want to talk about those four things. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on all of them, but I have to slow down at least and begin to talk about what's happening in the first phrase. And God said, it's the first time that God shows that His wisdom that is in His heart and mind and in the planning stations is now being vocalized. That is, it's now being expressed, that He is expressing Himself, so He's saying something. In other words, God had purposed that there would be light, and so now He says it. He says, let there be light. And So it is, if you think about any time that you've ever said something, it was always in your mind before, or out of the heart the mouth speaks. It was in your heart or your mind or in you, if you will, before it came out of your mouth. And in the same way, God spoke. But, of course, we all know, because we're believers, and we know what verse came before Genesis 1:1, and it was John 1:1, that we all know that how God spoke was by the means of His Word, who is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that it's kind of, this whole section that we're dealing with right here is all mind-blowing. It's all difficult to understand, and it's not exactly, it's like out of our box, if you will. So the voice of God is the person of Jesus Christ, or something along those lines. And so let's see where God specifically says that, so we know that we're not making it up. And here's where He says it. In the beginning was the, and the Word was, and the Word, He, the Word, was in the beginning with God. And so we see this, and then let's see the next thing that God says, that John the Beloved says about the Word who was God, who was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through the Word. And God said, all things were made through the Word of God, which is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so it makes you think this, right? If you're trying to do the, you know, like country boy stuff, and like figure it out, you know, the chin scratching. You're like, does that mean it was actually Jesus who said? Well, the way to do it is to stick with the text and just let it blow your mind. And God said, so God is the Word, and the Word is the Son, right? Just stick with that. And all things were made through Him, and without Him, the Word was not anything made that was made, and in the Word was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so, go back to the Genesis 1 verse. I'm going to have you like jump back to that verse back and forth, in our very first verse. Yeah, let's. And so, we see God saying, by the means of His Logos, or by the means of His Word, that's the Greek word for word, by the means of His voice, if you will, let there be light. And then what we see immediately happening is what? There was light. So that when God speaks, He speaks things into existence. Because what had we known about the earth? That it was without form, and it was void, and darkness was over its face. So there wasn't any light there, was there? And so until God said, let there be light, and then there was light, because God spoke it into existence in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, like, I can't say, you know, it other than that way, because that's the only way the text will let me say it, right? If you say it some other way, and you're trying to make stuff up, and you'll blow your mind, and you'll go crazy, and you'll have to go to the third floor. So we can't do that. We just have to stick with how God says it, right? And so God says, let there be light. So it's interesting. Because one of the other things that we know about God, and remember the whole thing that we're learning here, is that God from other places in the Scripture is teaching us about this passage. So one of the other things we know in 1 John is this. This is the message that we've heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is what? And in Him is what? So, now go back to our Genesis 1 passage, and we'll ask the question again. So what's God up to here? Well, God is light. Isn't that right? So when God says, let there be light, God is allowing or calling into existence a expression of Himself, if you will, because God is light. In other words, God was fixing to shine in the world. God was fixing to just expose himself to the world, to shine on it, if you will, to light it, if you will. And the reason why this is important to see that this is going on is that God said, let there be light before he created the sun and the moon. So when we think that there's light, we think that the light comes from the sun. We'll get there in a couple weeks. Maybe next week we'll get there. And I'll give you a little hint. It is, if you're familiar with fission reactors, God created the first one. That's what the sun is. The sun is H2 and H3, which are two radioactive isotopes of hydrogen called deuterium and tritium that are pressed together until they explode and give off photons, which is light. And that's how the world is lighted, by the fission reactor that God created called the sun. Somebody say, wow. No, I mean, that's wow, isn't it? Yeah, that's like blows your mind, right? And so what happens is that, so before God did that, though, God already was light. And God decided to light the world with his own self, if you will. And God called light to come forth into the darkness. And so God, if you will, lit the world. So listen to the language of the scripture, and let's go to this Isaiah passage. Listen to the language of the scripture as God talks about this from other places. No longer will the sun be your light by day. And this is Isaiah talking about the end of time. Nor will the brightness of the moon shine on your night, for the Lord himself will be your everlasting life, and your God will be your splendor. Now, listen to how that same thing is talked about from John in the Revelation. Listen to this. At the very end of the time, what does he say? And night will be no more. There will be no more darkness. Now, you're going to see something in the Genesis text. God leaves darkness around, doesn't he? Somebody say yes. He does, in case you're wondering, in a few minutes it'll be dark. So, and night will be no more, and there will be no need, no more light of a lamp or the sun, for why? The Lord God is going to light heaven. The light that's going to keep the lights on forever and ever is God himself. And what God does before he ever creates the sun, and before he ever creates a moon, he says, I want you to know who the light is and where it's coming from. It's coming from me. And so, the next thing we see back in the Genesis passage. Sorry, I should have told you I was going to have you toggling back and forth, because now your mind is challenged and you're getting old. I know this is difficult for you. So, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw, think about this. So God's like doing this anthropomorphic thing, because God's spirit, right? Somebody say yes. But spirit sees. Yes. Okay. And without eyes, by the way. Somebody say yes. And how can I say that? Because you're saying, well, no, Jesus has eyes, but Jesus wasn't, somebody say, born yet. Yeah, that's right. So, well, I'm just like keeping it together here. And so God saw that the light was good. Now, I you can say, man, you know, like I've read through Genesis 1 through and bunches of times, it's such a glorious chapter. I've read it over and over again. I've heard it read over and over again. I've heard it preached over and over again. And I'd want to slow down and tell you something that's happening here when God saw that what he brought forth was good. Because what I want you to see is God's judgment on his own expression, on his own creation, on what he's doing. And what is he saying about it? It's good. Now, the reason I ask you that is, how should you think about it? It's good. It's good, right? So, when you wake up in the morning, when I wake up in the da-da-da, and a da-da-da-da-da, it's going to be another day, another day. Right. When I wake up in, yeah, exactly. I don't know how to sing it. I'll get the guys to sing it. That's a good one. Even Kirk Franklin did like a Christian version of that one. Do you remember that? That was great. Okay, so anyways, sunny day or something like that. I think that's what it was. Is that right? Okay, good. Okay, but listen, so here's the deal. So the fact that the sun rose this morning and I got to see the light is, yeah. And by the way, one of the things that you'll learn is that my judgment about something, remember, I'm a fallen, broken man, and I don't know nothing. I'm like a sheep who's gone astray. I've turned to my own way. And so my judgment on things ought to always be what God's judgment on something is. And when God says something's good, then it, that's right. And so God is setting up right now a conversation with you as he reveals himself in creation. And he's declaring his creation good. And he's telling you that it displays his glory. And we know that from Romans 1, right? That the creation displayed the glory of God. The Psalms say it. The creations display the glory of God, right? And so we know this. So, and that's how God talks about his creation. This is my glorious presentation. And so he saw the light was good. And then here's something that's interesting. As opposed to John 1 that we just read, in the creation, God separates the light from the darkness, and he leaves dark here, which is interesting. And I don't know how this all happened in the evening and the morning of the first day. I know how it happens after he creates the sun and the moon. I got the whole sun and moon thing down. I learned that in, I think, sixth grade or something. But I don't have how he pulled this off. Like, did he just go, whoop, and everything was light, and then he go, whoop, and then, like, retract it? I don't know how I did it. Probably something like that, right? Who knows? But he separated it, and here's the interesting thing. Now, of course, you know, what's the purpose? Well, God creates darkness and creates light, and the light shines into the darkness, and that's a spiritual metaphor that he actually created the world to dramatize throughout all history. And the only time that that darkness will finally be gone is when the Lord Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it's, and all evil's gone and everything that's dark, and we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and the old, dark, broken world is no more, and we're living in the kingdom of light. And so, but until then, God says, I'm going to leave the dark around. Because what am I going to constantly be doing in the hearts and minds of my people? I'm going to be shining light into darkness. Right? And that's what he's constantly doing. We talked about that last week. And so he calls it something too. So not only separate it, but he names it. He names it. And even today, we say that. Tomorrow is Mon. Yeah, exactly, right? So somebody said, how many days you read the Bible? Every day that ends in a Y. But what they could have said if they would have been faithful to Genesis 1, 3 through 5 is every day that ends in day. No, I'm just joking. It had nothing to do with nothing. It just came out of places in my head that I don't even know exist. So anyways, so every day that's called the day, God had already called it day. And when we say it's going to be night here in a few minutes, that's because it was God who named the night night. And it's always been night, because since God named it night. And by the way, we call trees trees because God named them trees. We call stars stars because God named them that. We call the sun because God named it that. So isn't that awesome? Okay, so, and the evening and the morning were the first day. This does set up a conversation that I'm going to have maybe next week. I'll go ahead and have it just for the fun of it. All right, the evening and the morning are the first day. And so then the question always is well, is that a 24-hour day, or is that epochs, or, you know, whatever. And that's the young earth guys and early creation, or is God talking about times, and, you know, and my particular way of thinking about this is that God always talks about the evening and morning to be the day, and then he says the sun's going to govern the day, he says the moon's going to govern the night, and the evening and the morning are going to be one day. And so, like, the where I live right now, Bobby, like, for me, that's 24 hours. And I'm pretty sure if you go all the way back in history, it was always 24 hours. So I'm a 24-hour creation day guy. And here's the other piece about that I don't have any problem with it, because God could have created that whole thing in one blink if he'd have wanted to. He could have taken 7 days if he'd have wanted, 6 days if he'd have wanted to, and he could have taken six epochs if he wanted to. It doesn't matter. But it seems to me that he specifically says that he did it in six natural days that were defined by evenings and mornings. And so that seems to me to be six 24-hour days. And if you don't think it was six 24-hour days, well, your loss, need to be rebaptized. I'm just joking. I don't know what to make of it. I've never been able to get my head around this, any other conversation. It just seems, I'm stuck on this thing called the Word of God, and if it says it and it seems pretty clear, then I'm sticking with it. Okay, so let me show you something that's really cool. Go to the John passage, John 6 passage. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are what? And? Okay, so the reason I said that was that in the John 1 passage, it said this. It said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The life that was in him was the light of men. And so, well, what does that have to do with Genesis 1? Well, let me tell you something about light. You know this about light, right? Everybody knows this. And if you think of light as a particle, it's called a photon, right? Of course, there's no way to think of it as a particle. That's just one of the ways that we try to talk about it. And so there's another way to talk about it called a wave. But let's just talk about it as a photon. Well, it's photons, a pocket of light. But let me tell you something about the pocket of light. Every time it interacts with a molecule, it gives it life. So God was light, and life was in him, and when he showed up with the light gave life to the world. Now, he hasn't done anything specific yet and organized that into stuff that we're going to see later, but I want you to see that. And I want you to see that not only as a, what I'm going to say is a physical reality, but also a metaphysical reality. That is something that is, that transcends the physical reality of light and life, even though they are also one and the same thing. And this, I'm going to bring you back to my favorite verse, which I talked about last week, and we're going to show it, and I'll end on this verse. Let's see it again. because we talked about it last week. Remember the context, darkness, light. Remember light is life. Remember light is word. Remember light is a particular word that brings light and life. So, and even if our gospel is veiled, that so veiled is darkness, right? It is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world, who is Satan, has blinded or darkened the mind of the unbeliever. So if your minds are blinded, they're also darkened. And as a matter of fact, Ephesians 4 uses that language instead of blinded. It uses darkened. Okay, and so we're blind, if you will. So there's no light to keep them. And here's why he blinded me, because he wanted to keep me from seeing the light of the gospel. And because in the gospel, which is the story about Christ, who is the image of God, there was life in it and light in it. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power, light of God unto salvation. That is, it is the thing that shines into you, that brings you to life. And he says it exactly that way next. The next verse says this: for God, the same God who said, let the light shine out of darkness in creation, has shown in our hearts, has said, let the light shine into Bobby's heart. What is the light? It's the word of the gospel, the word about the glorious Son Jesus, and that has life in it. So to shine in my heart, to give me the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, who is the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so God comes and he says, listen, Bobby's heart is dark. His mind is dark. He knows nothing about nothing. The god of this world has blinded him. He doesn't know anything. And the only thing that he needs to know that will bring him to life is about the Son Jesus. And so, just like I commanded light to come in the world in Genesis 1:3, I'm commanding the light to come into Bobby's heart and show him who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for sinners on Calvary so that he can believe. But not only so that he can believe, but literally that gospel brings me to life. That's right. Because it's light that brings me to life, because it has life in it. It has life in it. When Jesus told a dead man who was stinking, Lazarus, rise up. Or what did he say? Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. The words, Jesus described it this way, were spirit and life, both, right? The words literally brought Lazarus to life so that he could obey him and come forth. And when Jesus tells me to believe the gospel, the good news about what God has done in Christ to save knuckleheads like me from their sins, and what happens is that he has to bring me to life in order for me to be able to believe it. Because I'm dead and blind and done for. But he uses the word of the gospel, which is light and life, to shine in my heart and bring me to life. And in bringing me to life, I see Jesus. And in seeing, I believe. That's how God saves any of us that's ever been saved. With light. And the life that's in the light, who is the Lord Jesus and the revelation of the same. Amen? So God says, let there be light. And there is. And it's good. And it's separate from the darkness. It shines into the darkness. Lord, we love you. You're above us and beyond us. You blow our mind. We can't grasp even the edges of this glorious text. But thank you for showing us what you have shown us of it. And thank you for revealing yourself as the light before you actually made in a sun and the moon to help that out. And thank you for revealing yourself as the light that actually brings life to men. And thank you for making sure that that light life story was about your son who died for me so that I could have life with you. In Jesus' name, amen.